It's now 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. We got a special guest with us this morning, Keith Dane, Senior Advisor on Equine Protection for the Humane Society of the United States. Good morning, Keith. How you doing?
Good morning, Norman. I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, tell us a little bit, what does a Senior Advisor for the Equine Protection do?
Well, I've worked for about 10 years now with the Humane Society of the United States on a variety of equine issues. The problem we're talking about today is the issue of horse soaring, which is the intentional infliction of pain to the legs and hooves of Tennessee walking horses and related breeds. But I've been working on a number of campaigns for the Humane Society, including horse slaughter, wild horse issues, etc. So it's a pretty broad spectrum of equine issues that we cover.
Now, why do they do that?
Well, the people in the Tennessee walking horse breed do this because they want the horse to step higher, so they intentionally inflict pain to the limbs of these horses, the front limbs, in order to get them to step quickly and higher. They're basically pulling away from the pain. They do this simply for the purpose of creating an animated gait for the show ring that people refer to as the big lick. And this is a problem that's been going on for decades. It started back in the 1950s. And it's just been getting progressively worse for the past 50 years or more. It got so bad in the 60s that Congress passed the Federal Horse Protection Act in order to try to eliminate this problem. But people found ways around it, found loopholes, and have managed to continue to do this practice basically undeterred and unpunished for nearly 50 years now.
Now, what breeds suffer the most from soaring?
Well, the Tennessee walking horse is the one that it initiated in, and they're the ones that are most known to the general public or the horse-owning and loving public. There are a couple of other related breeds that have been sort of offshoots of the walking horse, including the racking horse and the spotted saddle horse. So it's really three main breeds that are impacted by this problem.
Now, you mentioned in the 1960s that it was outlawed. Could we use that law and make it illegal again?
Well, there is a bill pending before Congress that would amend the Horse Protection Act and tighten up the loopholes, close the loopholes, to essentially end this problem once and for all. The bill was introduced in the last Congress and again in this Congress, and in both Congresses, it has received huge support from the horse industry, from the veterinary community, from animal protection groups, and even law enforcement agencies, as well as a majority of members in both the House and the Senate. We've had co-sponsors in both houses, over 50%, clear majority in both houses of Congress. Yet we haven't been able to get the bill passed because there are a few key legislators that have blocked a vote for the bill, so it hasn't come up for a vote. We know it'll win if it is brought to a vote. So we're going to keep pushing to get more co-sponsors and press for a vote either in this Congress or the next Congress. In the meantime, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which is the agency that is charged with enforcement of the act on the books, has the ability to close some of these loopholes on its own through its own regulations under the Horse Protection Act. And in July, they proposed a rule that would change the regulations and do just that, tighten up some of the loopholes. We're urging people to weigh in with the USDA to tell them that they want them to implement this rule quickly. And during this administration, the comment period closes on October 26th, so it's timely for us to be talking because your listeners can help. They can go to the Humane Society website, which is humanesociety.org/ HPA, that's Horse Protection Act acronym, HPA rule, R-U-L-E. So again, that's humanesociety.org/ HPA rule. And they can comment there. The comments are already drafted. People can modify them if they like, but it makes it easy for people to get online. They can do it right now and comment in favor of this rule that USDA has proposed.
Now, how is soaring detected?
Well, it's detected at horse shows by inspectors that are trained to look for soaring. The problem has been that, number one, USDA only has enough funds budgeted for this program to get to about 10% of the horse shows. They've left enforcement to the industry itself. It's a self-policing scheme that has failed because many of the people who are doing the inspections or the people that are hiring them which are the horse show managers, have an incentive to let horses get in the ring. A lot of them are participants in the industry themselves, whether they're breeders or trainers or farriers, and they turn a blind eye to violations and let people go in the ring, let horses go in the ring, when the USDA isn't there 90% of the time. The other problem has been that trainers in the industry have discovered that if they use a topical anesthetic, like lidocaine or benzocaine, that lasts for about 15 or 20 minutes, they can apply it before the horse is supposed to go through inspection. That temporarily numbs the horse's legs. They don't feel pain. They pass inspection, and then 15 minutes later, the numbness wears off, and they go in the ring, and they're in pain again. So, as I said, the industry has found ways to get around the act and evade detection, and that's been a major problem. What USDA is proposing in this rule would be to eliminate that industry self-policing scheme and have show managers hire trained inspectors who are licensed by the department themselves and under the watchful eye of the department, so that if they're not doing a good job, they can have their license pulled.
Is there anything else the Humane Society is doing to end soaring?
Well, we have had several undercover investigations. The last one was announced in 2015, where we've actually gotten someone into the barn as an employee to watch what's going on, to document what's going on, and to report it to the authorities. In 2011, we announced the undercover investigation that we performed in West Tennessee, and that resulted in a federal prosecution. The one we did last year, unfortunately, local authorities in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Rutherford County, refused to take any action. So we presented them with hard evidence that gave them probable cause for a search warrant, and they chose not to act on it. And that underscores why it's so important that we shut this down at the federal level. We can't rely on local authorities in municipalities that are heavily infested with Tennessee walking horse abusers to follow through. There's just too many conflicts of interest, and we need to rely on the federal government, which has the authority to oversee this problem at shows in every state in the country, to step up and take action.
Where can we find out more information?
You can visit the humanesociety.org website and then just type in Tennessee Walking Horse in the search on that page, or just type in Horse Soaring, S-O-R-I-N-G.
Well, thank you very much for being our guest this morning, and we wish you the best and hope that we can put an end to soaring.
Well, we appreciate your having us on and spreading the message to your listeners. Thanks so much, Norman.